Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me tonight to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and the title of the message tonight is Rest for Your Souls. We are, of course, in the middle of vacation season. The 4th of July week is one of the busiest traveling weeks of the entire year. And let me just say, it is good to take a vacation every now and again. I am not one of those preachers who gets on to people for taking a vacation. We need vacations. You are not a machine. You are not made to be always on and always working. We all need to rest and recharge every once in a while. Someone has said that leisure is a reward from God for your hard work. And I think that's true. The times when we get to let our hair down and enjoy creation and enjoy our family is really God's gift to us in response to all the hard work we do for Him throughout the rest of the year. In my experience, the people who need leisure the least take it the most. And the people who need it the most won't take it. It's okay to take some time off. You know, God rested on the seventh day of creation, didn't He? Not because He needed a break. Omnipotence never sweats. God didn't get tired. He took a break so He could set a pattern for us because we would need rest. Throughout the Old Testament, there were holy days and festivals built into the rhythms and routines of the calendar year. So the people would come out of the fields and stop their toilsome work and spend some time worshiping and investing in family and enjoying the good things of God. It really is a good gift to be able to take off every once in a while and just enjoy yourself. But how many of you have ever got back from vacation and you're more tired than you were before you left? Yeah. Maybe you're one of those crazy people who has an itinerary for every hour of your vacation. Up at the crack of dawn, dragging your family off to some crazy theme park, 20 miles of hiking. What's wrong with you people? Take a chill pill, man. That is not a vacation. If you are physically exhausted, a vacation will do you wonders. But if you are mentally or spiritually exhausted, I'm sorry, a vacation won't do much for you. I know I'm talking tonight to burdened, stressed out people. If the statistics are correct, Americans are more stressed out in this moment of our history than we have ever been before. The truth of the matter is, as I pastor and move among you and try to help bear your burdens in prayer, I know that many of you are weighed down and burdened tonight. You know, we carry a lot of burdens in life. And I don't care how old or how young you are, there are burdens that you face. We have our young people here, and our young people face the burdens of school and sports. Then you grow up a little bit, and you need to find a job. And finding a job can be a real burden, especially in this economy. Many of you have two or three jobs. You're working every side hustle you know how to work just to make ends meet. I don't think it's ever been tougher for Americans than it is right now. Work can be a heavy burden. And of course, we have money. Anybody burdened about money tonight? I know. I wish this wasn't the case, but when you have children, they have some burdens. First, you pray about having a baby. And that's a small burden. Then your children get to be teenagers. And that's a little bit of a bigger burden. And then they want to date and find a life's mate, and that's a huge burden. My kids are never bringing strangers home. It's not happening. Anna's going to be my secretary and church pianist. I'm prophesying tonight. And she'll say no, Daddy, and she'll be terrified I said her name. I'm sorry, sweetheart. Jesus is never a burden, but let's be honest, church can be a burden. Ministering among people can create unique stresses. I think some of the heaviest stresses you'll face in life. Then, of course, I think a lot of us are burdened about our country right now. And we're facing this election season and the 24-hour news cycle. I read an article in U.S. News and World Report last week that the economy and election are driving up anxiety rates in America like we have never seen before. The levels are even higher than they were during the pandemic, believe it or not. A lot of us are carrying the burden of our country. And you know, the thing about these burdens is you take them with you everywhere. And you take them with you when you try to get a night's sleep. You can take it with you to the beach or to the mountains. When you're carrying burdens like this, there's not a lot that can make them lighter. Let me ask you, is a full backpack a good picture of your life tonight? Anybody come to church worn out, stressed out, heavy laden? You know, Proverbs says heaviness in a man's heart makes it stoop. And I think that's a great depiction of the average American having heavy, stooping hearts. Heaviness in a man's heart makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Amen. Where are you going to find a good word in the days in which we're living? Well, I can tell you, you're not going to find it on the news, no matter which flavor of the news you watch. And in and of myself, I really don't have a good word that can make your heart glad tonight. But I want you to listen to a good word from Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
This is good news. God says you can take all the things that you're burdened about, and Brother Earl, you can just toss them on Jesus. Just kidding. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you.
Amen.
And if you came tonight troubled and stressed out and full of anxiety, Jesus cares for you. And your burden may be awfully heavy for you, but it's not for him. He has really big shoulders, and you can give it to him. Tonight, let's talk about finding rest for our souls. And look with me at Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think this is one of the most gracious invitations you will find in the entire Bible. Some of the most pleasant words ever uttered in human history. Now, by way of introduction, notice first of all the source of the invitation. Jesus is inviting us. Brother Earl, if I invited you to have dinner with me at the White House next week, would you be excited about that? I don't care how excited you would be about it. I'm not qualified to make that invitation, okay? Only the president can make that kind of invitation. The truth of the matter is that if anybody else tried to tell you they could give you rest for your souls, you would think they were out of their minds. Jesus alone is qualified to give you rest. Consider the scope of the invitation. He says, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Now, if I were inviting people to come to me, I would say, come all who are wealthy. Come all who are powerful and connected. Come all who are strong and gifted. Those are the people I would want to follow me. But Jesus is looking for people who are weary and heavy laden. So if you're here tonight burning the candle at both ends, if you feel like the demands of life are more than you can meet, Jesus invites you to come to him. Isn't that wonderful? Notice the substance of the invitation. This invitation is about rest. He says it twice. He says in verse 28, I will give you rest. In verse 29, you will find rest. Now in verse 28, Jesus is speaking about eternal rest. Rest in the hereafter. That's rest that only Jesus can give you. We might call that peace with God. But in verse 29, Jesus says there is a rest you have to find. And that is rest in the here and now. And that's the peace of God. He gives us the first rest as a gift, but don't miss this. We have to find the second rest. There is a rest that a day at the spa or a month at the mountain can't give you. Only Jesus can give it to you. Now, here's the secret of the invitation. Are you ready? It calls for action on your part. I think this is one of those commands in the Bible that we sometimes feel like we can just sit back and passively enjoy. Okay, Jesus, I'm ready for some rest. Pour it on me. That's not what it says. There are action words in this invitation. And Jesus says, if you want to find rest, here's what you have to do. Come, take, learn, and find. Jesus is calling for four specific actions on your part if you want to find rest for your soul. So let's dive into it tonight. First of all, he extends an invitation to come. Come to me, he said, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Now, this is a person-to-person invitation. I think if Jesus was here speaking to us tonight, this is one of the things that he would say, you can come to me. Now, we get invited to things all the time, don't we? Some things we want to go to. Some things we do not want to go to. Some things, when we get the invitation, we are quick to RSVP. And some of those invitations sit on the counter for a long time while we look for an excuse not to go, right? If you think about it, every advertisement is really an invitation. If you're hungry, come to my grocery store or restaurant. If you need clothes, come to my store or visit my website. If you're in need of money, get your title back with Title Max. There are, of course, many places to get food and clothing and a high-interest loan. But if you want rest for your soul, Jesus says you have to come to me. Only one place to get it. Not to a religion, not to a program, not to a life philosophy, but to a person. Come to me. By the way, this is what makes Christianity different from every other religion. The Buddhists have their eightfold path. Here are the eight things you have to do to attain nirvana. The Muslims have their five pillars. The Hindus have their 10 pillars. Only Christianity says that rest is not at the end of the path or by keeping religious tenets. It can only be found by coming to a real person. You might ask, Pastor, what does it mean to come to Jesus? I mean, I think the people who he was speaking to in the original context knew exactly what it meant. Hey, I'm right here. Come to me. Follow me. Learn from me, right? What does it mean for us in 2024 to come to Jesus? Well, he answered that question in John 6:35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's using parallelism here. Come to me and you'll never hunger. Believe on me and you'll never thirst. So what does it mean to come to Jesus in the context of Matthew 11? It means to believe on Jesus. That's the first step. That's how you find rest for your souls. Believe in him. That's what it means to come to him. What do you have to believe? Well, you got to believe you're a sinner, don't you? Yeah. I think anybody of any age tonight could admit that. You need to believe that you are separated from God in life and death. You need to believe that God loves you and Jesus died for your sins in your place. You need to believe that he rose from the dead. You need to believe he's the only way to heaven and that by simple faith in him, you can have forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. John wrote in John chapter 1, he came unto his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. The moment you believe on his name, in other words, who he is and what he came to you, the moment you believe on his name, you receive the power to become a son or daughter of God. Amen. And that's real rest. The rest of knowing that all your sins are forgiven.
Yes.
The rest of knowing you don't have to go through life alone.
Yes.
The rest of knowing that your soul is at peace with God and you have no worries about where you'll spend eternity.
Yeah.
Listen, if you want rest for your soul, only one person can give it to you, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
And the process starts when you come to him and believe on him. Real rest is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have one tonight, I pray you'll start one by the time we leave. So it says, if you want rest for yourself, first you have to come to me, all you who are heavy laden. Then he says, you have to take my yoke upon you. So this is an invitation to take. Now, we got a lot of Dallas-Fort Worth city slickers here. I grew up in West Texas, but believe it or not, I am not all that familiar with a yoke, okay? So I had to do some research. The yoke was a wooden frame placed upon the back of an oxen that would bind at least two or more oxen together. Now, we're not familiar with yokes, but Jesus was very familiar with them. It was an agrarian culture, animals everywhere. Besides that, you remember where Jesus grew up? A carpenter shop. He probably made a lot of yokes in his life that were very common. What is Jesus saying when he says you need to take my yoke upon you? He's saying at least three things. First of all, submit to me. Submit to me. The ox that wears the yoke is in submission to the person who's holding the reins. And don't miss this. Jesus is saying if you want soul rest, you have to submit your life to him. When a person in that time became a follower of one of the religious sects, let's say the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Essenes, okay? When they became a follower of a religious sect in the Jewish culture, it was said that they were coming under the yoke of that sect. Maybe there was a particular rabbi that you wanted to follow, and you were coming under the yoke of that rabbi when you started to follow their teaching, okay? Jesus was speaking to people, the vast majority of whom were under the yoke of the Pharisees. And that was a very heavy yoke. They took all the thou shalt and thou shalt nots that were already in the Old Testament. There's a lot of those. Then they added their man-made rules and traditions to the clear teachings of God's word. And to be a follower of God when you were under the yoke of the Pharisees meant not doing everything God told you not to do and making sure that you were doing everything God told you to do. Over 600 commands, besides all their crazy traditions about washing pots and washing hands and even down to the minutest detail of your life. And boy, the people Jesus was speaking to were just weighed down with religion. To be yoked up with the Pharisees was a heavy load. In contrast, Jesus says, not like their yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. Amen. Now notice, he doesn't say there's no yoke. He doesn't say when you come to me, you get to live your life any way you want to. When you come to me, you're in charge and you hold the reins of your life. That's not what he says. He says, you come to me and I'm going to hold the reins to your life. But don't worry. The burden that I put on you is easy and it's light. To be under the authority of Jesus is not a burden. It's a delight. Amen. He's a good and gracious master. Amen. I like what John said. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's a delight to be under the yoke of Jesus. Let me tell you something. You're never going to be at rest if you're fighting God for control of your life. Never. You'll never be at rest if you're running from God. The only way to find rest for your soul is to fully surrender everything you have to God. So if you came here tonight, just weighed down, heavy laden, burdened, let me ask you, are you in full submission to God? Can you honestly say that he holds the reins? He calls the shots. And as much as you know, you're living life under his leadership. You'll never find rest for your souls without it. So taking the yoke of Jesus, of course, means to submit to him. In the second place, it means to serve him. Because oxen were yoked up for one purpose, right? To serve. To work. They were beasts of burden. And a yoke was an instrument of labor. Jesus was saying, yes, submit yourself to my leadership and authority, but also recognize that when you yoke up with me, you will serve me. Be about my mission. There's a field to plow and there's seed to sow and there are souls to be saved. In other words, the rest that Jesus offers is not rest from labor. It's rest in the midst of labor. And I say to you again, you'll have no rest for your souls without a larger life's purpose. Is something you're all about. This is why multimillionaires aren't happy. They never have to work another day in their life. This is why many retired people aren't happy. They've reached the dream, the pinnacle. They've got their RV and they have nothing left to do and they feel absolutely useless. And Jesus says, you come to me and I'm going to give you a life's purpose that's bigger than yourself. Let me hold the rein and you get busy about my business and I'll give you rest in your soul while you're serving me. That's wonderful, and only Jesus can do it. Amen. Submit to me. Serve me. Then stay in step with me. Now, the yoke was for joining oxen. The purpose of it was even weight distribution. So that two oxen pulling together could do more than, of course, one could do on its own. that there would be synergy and they would help one another. They'd go further and faster together. Now, I just want you to imagine for a minute what would happen if a farmer yoked up a big, healthy ox with a small, weak, shrimpy ox. Well, here's what would happen. Inevitably, that strong ox would end up way out in front of the small, weak ox, and it would pull all of the load. Now, the only way for that weak animal to either not be crushed by the burden coming up in front of him, or to have that other ox pulling the entire load on itself, the only way for that weak, small animal to really have a part in the sharing of the load is for him to stay in step with the stronger, bigger ox. He gets in front of that strong ox and he's pulling the load on his own. He gets behind him and he's going to get crushed by the ox. And here's, I think, what Jesus was saying when he said, "Take my yoke upon me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." What Jesus calls us to do is not always light and easy for us. Anybody here teaching a Sunday school class? And you're convinced Jesus has called you to teach that Sunday school class. You pray for your class and you prepare your lessons and you check on people during the week. And in addition to your responsibilities at home and all that you're doing at work, sometimes it feels like quite a load. Anybody here in the nursing home ministry? While everybody else is taking a nap, you're off at the nursing homes working hard. By the way, we had a worker in the nursing home saved today. Brother Mike Marquardt was able to lead him to Christ. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
In other words, many of the things that Jesus asked us to do, many of the things that come with yoking up with him and serving him and submitting to him will not be light for us. The real challenge for us is to stay in step with Jesus. Because here's the wonderful thing. Jesus does not just call us to serve him. He calls us to serve with him. That's what Paul said. We are laborers together with God. And here's my experience in the Christian life. The burden that Jesus calls me to bear in my ministry and life is only burdensome when I'm not in step with Jesus. When I'm out in front of Jesus, trying to do it all on my own, in my own power and strength, and I end up pulling the load. Or I am reluctant and sitting back and not doing what God has called me to do. Jesus is out in front of me, and I'm getting crushed by the burden of not doing what I'm supposed to do. The real key to finding rest in the Christian life and what it really means to take his yoke is day by day just to stay in step with Jesus and walk with him. And as I walk with him, he pulls the load. Isn't that good? Jesus says, "Come to me. Take my yoke upon you." What does that mean to take his yoke? Well, submit to him. It means serve him. Most of all, it means stay in step with Jesus, because the only way the burden will be easy and light is if he's pulling it. All right? So come and take. Notice what he says next. Learn. He gives us an invitation to learn. If you want rest for your soul, you'll have to learn some things. Now remember, he was talking to these first century Jews. They were under the yoke of the Pharisees. We often think of our religious leaders as kind of inspirational speakers and life coaches. That's not how they thought about them in the first century world. They were first and foremost teachers, rabbis. And you sat under the ministry of a rabbi to learn something. They taught principles of law. When I was younger, I'd often pick my kids up from elementary school, and inevitably, as I was picking them up, one of the parents who was there in line with me would ask their child as they come running up, "Did you have fun today?" And I would always think, I never said it out loud, I would always think, isn't that kind of beside the point? I really didn't send my kids to school so they would have fun. I sent them to school so they would learn something. Not so they'd be happier, but so that they would be smarter. Now, Jesus says, if you're going to come to me and you're going to yoke up with me, you're also going to have to learn from me. I'm going to be your teacher. How many of you understand tonight that many of our anxieties come from faulty thinking? We think wrong. And Jesus said, the proverb says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And for us to really find rest, some of that faulty thinking is going to have to be corrected. And Jesus wants to teach us how to do that. Now, what does it mean to make Jesus your teacher and really learn from him? Again, for the people listening to the initial invitation, that was rather straightforward. Come and follow me. Where I teach, you sit down and listen and learn. But what does it mean for us today to learn from Jesus? I don't know any other way for us to learn from Jesus than to give ourselves to the study of this book. Amen. This is the teaching of Jesus. Amen. So the only way that we can really call ourselves students of Christ, the only way we can honestly say we're learning from him, is if we have a daily relationship with this book. We really can't say that we're following Jesus, being the disciples we ought to be and learning from him, if our Bibles are closed all week and the only time we dust them off is when we bring them to church on Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to find rest for your souls this week, get in this book. Read it, study it, memorize it, meditate upon it. Like we said this morning, do it. Do it. You'll find rest for your souls. That's how we're going to learn from Jesus. I know I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating. Every study on the subject shows that Christians who attend church regularly and read their Bibles regularly and pray regularly, so those three things, have the best mental health of anybody in our country. Now, that doesn't mean that Christians who read their Bible and come to church and pray won't have struggles with mental health from time to time, because we all probably will, to be totally honest. But these are the habits that you put in place in your life, to correct that faulty thinking. And as you learn from Jesus, he teaches you a new way to look at life, and you find rest for your soul. When Jesus is your teacher, you'll stop worrying all the time. Stop speculating. Stop fearing. Start agonizing. You start thinking on things that are pure and lovely and honest and good. I have found that when I am in step with Jesus, walking with him and learning from his word, he gives me all the rest that I need to handle whatever I'm going to face on that day. How about you? So again, do you want rest? Who doesn't want it? I'm talking about rest for your souls tonight. This is a rest nobody in the world can give you. Do you want it? Well, Jesus says you got to come to me. Believe on me. He says you got to take my yoke. Submit to me. Serve me. Stay in step with me. This is not just a one-time event. This is a process throughout the entirety of your life. Right, and he says, you have to learn from me. Let me correct your faulty thinking. Let me teach you what is true. Then lastly, we see an invitation to find. Come, take, learn, and find. And really, finding is the result of doing the other three things. Come to me for rest in the hereafter. Then, yoke up with me and learn from me. Find rest in the here and now. Let me ask you, have you found that rest? You do have to find it. Augustine of Hippo is a famous figure in church history, and I'm not crazy about all of his theology, okay? But he wrote his testimony in one of the more famous books, again, in all of church history, called Confessions. He had a Christian mother, but he spurned his mother's prayers, and he lived a lifestyle that was just debauched and profligate for many years. He had a world-class education, a fantastic job in the city where he was living, lots of money, lots of women. And yet, as the years went by, he was absolutely miserable. You know people like that? Who have everything the world says you're supposed to have to be happy, and they're not happy? That was Augustine. On a really dramatic day, he came to faith in Christ. And here's what he would later write. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. Heard about a preacher who had been witnessing to a wealthy man in his community. And every time he brought Jesus up, the man would just change the subject. Finally, one day, the man asked him over to dinner, and he was sitting in this man's large house. The preacher said, listen, we've been friends for a long time. I'm going to get right down to it. I love you, you're my friend, but you need to be saved, and if you don't, you'll split hell wide open. The man looked back at the preacher and said, I don't need Jesus. He said, look at this house I live in, it's a mansion. Look at the car I drive, it's the best car in town. I have a beautiful wife and healthy children. They love me and I love them. What do I need Jesus for? The preacher looked at the man and said, "You're right. You have a big house and you have a fancy car. You have a beautiful wife and beautiful children. But let me ask you, do you have peace?" And the man got a troubled look on his face. And he said, "For all of my money and possessions and the many things I have in this world, that's the one thing I don't have." He said, "How did you know?" And the preacher says, "Because the Bible says it. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And I just want to say to you tonight, you're never going to find peace until you meet the Prince of Peace. C.S. Lewis said, "God cannot give us peace and happiness apart from himself because it is not there. It does not exist. There is no such thing." So if you came to church tonight burdened and heavy laden, let me ask you, have you come to Jesus? Have you ever believed on him for your soul salvation? If you've not done that, listen to Jesus' invitation. Come to me. No matter what you've done or where you've been tonight, you can come to Jesus. But listen, if you're saved, if you have believed on Jesus and you still don't have rest, let me ask you, are you submitted to Jesus Christ? Can you honestly say that he's holding the reins in your life, that he's calling the shots? Too many of us want to fight God and expect peace. It won't happen that way. The only way for you to have peace and rest is to finally give control to Jesus. And tonight, some of us, if we came in heavy laden and burdened, it's because we're living a life that is not under the submission of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you tonight, have you taken Jesus' yoke? Are you in step with him? Are you serving him? And are you learning from him? I think, again, what all of us would like to do is when we're burdened and heavy laden, come to an altar and roll those burdens off to the Lord. And you know what, folks? He'll take them. We can cast all of our cares upon him. He does care for us. You can find rest at an altar, but listen, if you want to keep rest and really have it, that's a day in and day out process of walking with Jesus Christ. And if you want it, that's where you'll find it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this wonderful invitation from your Son. To people who are burdened and stressed out and heavy laden with life's cares. There are many in this room carrying burdens you never intended for them to carry. All of the things we spoke about earlier in the sermon can weigh a person down. And we go through life in our own strength, thinking we have to carry our own burdens and solve our own problems. And you said we could come to you. Lord, my guess is that there are plenty of people here who need rest way down deep in their souls. And you're willing to give it if we will come and take and learn and find. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here who would say, "I'm not sure I've ever come to Jesus. I'm not sure I've ever believed on him. Pastor, would you please pray for me?" If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? I'm not sure I've ever come to Jesus. I'm not sure I've ever believed on him. Pastor, would you please pray for me? All right, on a Sunday night crowd, the vast majority of everyone here has trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. So let's talk to you Christians tonight. Let's get honest. That's a good thing to do in church every once in a while. How many of you would say, "I came to church tonight heavy laden"? And I'll admit it. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? I think that's several of us. And I would ask you, dear friend, is there one of these areas where Jesus has commanded you to look for rest, or you have not looked for it? Don't raise your hand, but anyone here would say, "My life is not in submission to Jesus Christ. I'm not really serving him. I'm not staying in step with him. And now I know, because his word says it, that's why I don't have rest. You can do something about it tonight, and I pray you will. Father, work during this time of invitation. You want us all to find this rest. Help us to find it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.